Thank you for joining me in our study of 1 Corinthians again. We're going to be in chapter 9 in this study. Once again, I appreciate you joining me in this. And I hope everybody's staying well. Let's begin with chapter 9. Paul's continuing the thought that he is in chapter 8. And chapter 8 is the use of one's rights or one's liberties. And Paul has said, if the price of my brother, if the price of a piece of meat is my brother's soul, that's too high a price to pay. I'll not eat meat. And I'll not be an occasion for stumbling for any. The love of my brother will not allow me to do that. I may have the knowledge, but the love of my brother and love of God will not allow me to do that. So as Paul begins chapter 9, he continues this particular line of thought. And he begins with these questions that are rhetorical. They better would be, I am, I am, I am. But they're rhetorical statements. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, my Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? And so Paul just simply kind of laying this down. It seemed like there may be some that are there trying to challenge Paul's apostleship. The Corinthians know who he is. The Corinthians don't question his apostleship. But there are some who are due. So Paul will say, if I'm not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship and my defense to those who examine me in this. He said, do that, my defense to those who examine. You are my seal. You're my certification. You're my bona fides. You are my evidence that I'm an apostle. I did this work among you. I labored among you. I lived among you. You know this. You don't question this. And so then he said, here's my defense of that. And he asked these series of questions. Do we have no right to eat and drink? The idea to eat and drink there is to provide the fundamental provisions, provide the provisions for life. He said, do we not have a right to take about a believing wife, as do also the apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? How is it that these others have this right, that myself and Barnabas don't have this right? We don't have the right to refrain from working or to be supported to preach the gospel. How's that the case? But I haven't done that. And so then he will begin to ask a series of questions that on their face are just easily understood. Whoever goes to war at his own expense, does a soldier go to war at his own expense? A mercenary might, but not a soldier. The soldier has all the provisions that he needs supplied for him. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Here's the vine dresser, he's from the vine. Who has tends a flock and does not drink the milk of the flock? Here's a shepherd. He takes the milk of the flock and provides that for his family. And so you understand these things. You understand about a soldier. You understand about a husbandman. You understand about a shepherd. You understand about someone who plants goes to war, how those things are provided. You understand all those things. So he says, do I say these things as a mere man? In other words, all these things on their face, we understand that. We see this all the time. Paul said, let me pull out of the world here an illustration to show you something here. Every type of labor has the right to be rewarded. He said, well, what about the law? That's even more important. What does the law say? And so he quotes the law and says, for it's written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is an oxen God's concerned about? So here's the ox going through the field. Do you muzzle the ox while he's going through the field? The point is, if you don't muzzle the ox, why do you muzzle the workman of Christ? For he will say, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, is written that he who plows should plow in hope. He who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. So here's the man who plows. Here's the man who reaps. Here's the man who threshes. That man who plows, reaps, and threshes, he takes the part of what he's plowed and what he's reaping and what he's threshing. Or does that just apply to an ox? How is it an ox can be provided for, but we can't be provided for, and we are the only ones that have to refrain from doing that. And so even the law says something about what the right of an evangelist is to be supported. And then he says in verse 11, if we've sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing we reap material things? So here's the man that's labored in the gospel, and he's sown the spiritual things. He's taught the spiritual things. Is it too much for him to expect to be supported in carnal things by those with whom he has sown the spiritual things? We don't make that argument with regard to the soldier. We don't make that argument with regard to the husbandman. We don't make that argument with regard to the shepherd. We don't make that argument with regard to the ox. We don't make that argument with regard to the man that plows. We don't make that argument with regard to the man that threshes. They thresh in hope. In hope of what? A reward. And here's the man that sows the gospel. And he sows what? In hope of a reward. In hope of being remunerated, to be rewarded for his labor by carnal things from those who what? From those who have sown spiritual things. There's the partnership that is there. And so Paul says, is that too much for us to expect? But then he will say in verse 12, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel. Others have done this, but we haven't. I have this right, but I haven't done it. Why? Because I don't want to in any way diminish the gospel. And keep in mind, for a teacher in the time of Corinth to teach with his hand, to work with his hands, was to diminish the reputation of the teacher. And Paul's saying, I'm not going to do anything that's going to diminish my reputation. And so he'll say in the second book, I took wages of other churches, robbing them, that I might do work among you. But at least at this time, I've laid my right to support aside. And I haven't taken what others have taken. And then he will say, verse 13, do you not know that those who minister holy things eat the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the altar, offerings of the altar? And so here's the priest and the Levite. Here the sacrifices are brought, and part of the sacrifice is used for the altar, and part of the sacrifice is used for the priest. That's part of what the priest is provided. The priest is provided by the Israelites. So here are the Israelites that provide the things that the priest needs for the provisions of life. And they were provided for quite adequately and quite sumptuously, quite plentifully, quite bountifully. And so when an offering came to the altar, the priest expected to partake of a part of what came to the altar. And so then he says, verse 14, even so, that's a really important group of words. In the same manner a priest and a Levite were supported, so a man who preaches the gospel, who has the right to live by the gospel, should be supported. Paul said, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live by the gospel. Even so, in the same manner the priests and Levites are supported, so should the man who supports who preaches the gospel be supported in the preaching of the gospel. And so Paul will say then, in verse 15, but I've used none of these things. Again, he will say, I've used none of these things. That's twice now. Nor have I written these things that it should be done so to you. For it would be better for me to die than anyone should make the thing in which I boast, my glory, the thing in which I glory, the gospel of none effect. Paul said, I wouldn't dare think of diminishing the gospel. I haven't taken this from you, and I'm not writing this. I'm not writing this so you can send me money. I wouldn't dare do that, because I don't want to do anything that would diminish the thing in which I boast, the gospel itself. In fact, he will go on to say in verse 16, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. Necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is I don't preach the gospel. God put the necessity of preaching the gospel on Paul. And so he said, that necessity has been given to me, and it's been laid on me willingly, and it is my stewardship. And I'm going to be faithful to my stewardship. And I'm not going to do anything that's going to diminish my stewardship. And so what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. Here's my boast. My boast is this gospel was freely given to me, and I freely give it. But that does not diminish the point that Paul is making, that a man who preaches the gospel has a right to live by the gospel. Before we close, just a couple of observations. I think number one, we need to see the Bible teaches about the support of an evangelist. In the next lesson, we're going to look at some things just briefly about the support of the priest and Levite. And I think it ought to be that men who preach the gospel need to preach and teach on what the Bible says about the right of a man to be supported by the gospel, and shouldn't be made to feel diminished or trivialized or be accused of greed because he does. This is something the Holy Spirit has spoken, and we have a right and obligation to speak what the Holy Spirit does. I think something else that needs to be observed here is that the priest and the Levite were supported quite generously and quite bountifully. They were not made to come hat in hand. They were not made to be come begging. The provisions were adequate for their life, and sometimes even beyond. And we should not trivialize or make a man who's supported by the gospel in an adequate way feel ashamed for the support he receives. And a man shouldn't be ashamed of the support he receives. We don't do that with an ox. We don't do that with a man who sows or the man who threshes, the man who plows. We don't do that with the soldier. We don't do that with the husband. We don't do that with the shepherd. And we shouldn't trivialize the man who preaches the gospel because he's supported to preach the gospel and receives that support. And so there's a lot of things that go into support of an evangelist here that are often trivialized or often diminished because of remarks that are made about the man who's receiving the support. This isn't about the man. This is about doing what the Holy Spirit has said we do to support a man who preaches the gospel. And Paul said, I had that right, but I did not use it among you, because I wouldn't do anything that would cause my right to preach the gospel to be diminished by you, nor the gospel which I preach to be diminished by you. Well, thanks for joining me, and we'll begin next time. And we're going to look at some things about the priest and the Levite, just quickly. And then we'll look at the rest of the chapter. Thanks for joining me, and thanks for being part of this. Appreciate it very much.